going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We got him. Let's talk to our Eagles reporter. He was there last night when Howie and Nick were addressing the assembled media, Mr. Elliot Shore-Parks. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this
morning? A lot. So, Elliot, yes, huge high grades for Howie from what we're saying, and I would say 100% of callers so far today. Does he deserve all the accolades he's getting? Put another way, did they get the right guy?
Yeah, I really like the pick. Whether they got the right guy, we'll find out. I mean, you know, obviously at this point, none of us know how these guys will transition to the NFL. But for me, this is one of those picks where you first hear it, and it seems, for me at least, like a bit of a head scratcher. But then you actually look at it, and it makes complete sense. And I'm actually like disappointed in myself that I didn't talk about him more leading up to the draft, because I think that we need to view this guy not as an off-ball linebacker that can play edge, but an edge that they can be versatile with and play off-ball linebacker. And that's a key distinction, because if you look at him as an edge, this is a classic Howie pick written all over it. A guy that I do believe is a top 10 talent in this draft, is one of the, honestly, maybe five guys in the draft that I think has like special all-pro upside, like legitimately.
Wow.
And I think that because of his injury, which we'll see, right? The shoulder thing is a concern, and we'll talk about maybe some of the cons in a second.
Sure.
But Howie has gotten to where he's gotten by taking big swings, right? Like Jalen Carter, I think, was a big swing. Jahad Campbell, to me, qualifies as a big swing. So I love the athletic makeup, and I love the big swing on the pick.
Elliot, how worried are you? And I don't want to say I'm worried, because I'm not. I love the way the guy plays, but the last time it feels like something a player fell to us to this degree. You know, my mind goes back to Andre Dillard. Remember, we go back to Andre Dillard, where we hadn't even really done what seemed like the full workup on Andre Dillard. He was still available. He was ranked so high in the draft that year, none of us even like were researching him or ready for him to be around. And it felt like the Eagles were also sort of surprised by that. Is this one of those things with Campbell that they didn't even expect he would be around? He was so good, because it feels that way.
Yeah, so I definitely think this is a bit of a situation where over the past week or so, they thought this became a real possibility. And because of that, I don't want to say they were cramming at the last minute, because, you know, they do study these guys and they're scouting people, you know, watch them all year. But they do value the top 30 visit, like they do, right? So you can't for years say that you value it, and then when you don't do it, say it's no big deal. So I definitely think that is, you know, you talk about some of the concerns of the pick. You know, I don't know Jahad Campbell yet. He seemed, you know, good in the interview last night. You watch it, like, he seems like a good guy. But there's just something different between talking to a guy a few times and getting him in your building for a top 30 visit. So that is a concern for me. But the other one I would say, too, is I think there's a little bit of, like, Jordan Davis aspect to this pick, in the way that, Jahad Campbell showed in college over, I think it was about 120 reps, that he has reps rushing the passer. But it is a bit of a projection, right? Like when they took Jordan Davis, they were pretty clear. For him to be worth this pick, he has to turn into a three-down pass rusher on that third down. If Jahad Campbell is just like a chess piece they can move around, that's a good player. He can help you out. But to be worthy of like what he can be, I think he has to become almost a full-time edge rusher. So there is that projection with that.
Elliot, what about the injury reality? I mean, how extensive is it, and what is it expected to mean for his year one and theoretically beyond?
Yeah, so, you know, I obviously, they just made the pick last night at midnight. I've not gotten all the full medical report, yep. right? Yep. So, but I will say that, A, I do think, you know, if you want to compare him to more like past draft picks, N'Kobe Dean was a player that the league had shoulder concerns about. He ended up playing. I do think when you look at how healthy the Eagles have been, you know, in recent years, their medical staff to a certain degree does deserve the benefit of the doubt. All that being said, if he doesn't have the shoulder injury, there's no shot they get to draft this player. So obviously teams had concerns. You know, I believe there is some worry, at least according to some reports, that maybe this impacts his rookie year. Jahad Campbell was, I would say, a little vague about where he's at. Just talking to people over, you know, since last night, like, I think they believe he'll probably be ready week one. And I think for training camp. But, yeah, I mean, it's the reason he fell. Like, that's the reason. It's not the player. It's the injury.
Elliot, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
So Howie says it has nothing to do with N'Kobe Dean.
Which I agree with, by the way.
No way, Elliot. It means N'Kobe's not on the team in 12
does
months.
Does N'Kobe Dean think it has nothing to do with N'Kobe
Dean? Well, look, N'Kobe might not be on the team in 12 months, but to compare Jahad Campbell to N'Kobe Dean, I think is misreading who Jahad Campbell is as a player.
Well, only if you're right that he's going outside, if that is where
he is. That is where he is going to play. That is where he's going. Now, look,
he's not going to play inside linebacker next to Zach Bond.
He'll play some of it in his rookie year, and I think that he'll take snaps there. But in my opinion, this is an edge player. That's how they
view him. So he's on one edge, and Nolan Smith is on the other edge?
Yes, I think that is how they view his best. I mean, just, look at him. Like, does he look like N'Kobe Dean? He looks much more like Micah Parsons. He looks much more like Abdul Carter.
I think that's the way the game's going. The game's getting bigger and stronger and heavier with the run.
You could be right. You're the first person I've heard say that's where this is headed. I mean, he is listed more as an inside linebacker with versatility, but not an edge with versatility.
Yeah, but I think Howie could not have been more clear last night. He was recruited to Alabama as an edge rusher. He moved to that position because of injury. And also just, you know, I know there's been a lot of reaction of, I can't believe the Eagles took an off-ball linebacker. First time in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
50 years or whatever it is. Well, yeah, because he's not really an off-ball linebacker. Like, they view him as an edge that can do things. And I think that is a key to viewing this pick. He is an athletic edge rusher that has the ability and the athleticism to drop back, but I don't think he's someone that'll be playing the same similar snaps
so,
N'Kobe is.
Wow. So you think it's likely that N'Kobe Dean will just work his way back and be playing next to Zach Bond, and our new addition, Jahad Campbell, will be lined up opposite Nolan Smith coming up. So basically in our base 3-4, it's Nolan Smith, OLB, Jahad Campbell, OLB, Zach Bond, ILB, N'Kobe Dean, ILB.
Yeah, I think that's how they want it to be. Now, the benefit of Campbell is he can do different things, right? So if N'Kobe's not healthy, if Campbell adjusts well to the inside linebacker position at the NFL, you can play him there. But I would guess when we're at OTAs and eventually in training camp, like, you will see him take – I think he'll be learning from from Jim Washburn, not Bobby King, put it that way.
Like, their
edge coach, not their linebacker coach.
So, Ellie, what's on tap today? I mean, obviously a late second-round pick. Who should – listeners be aware that could be in play for the Eagles, you know, in the 50s if they move up, or at I guess it is 64 if they stick there. Who should have their eye on?
So, yeah, they have the 64th pick and 96th pick tonight. They traded one of those fifth-round picks to move up, so a little less flexibility, but they have a ton of picks in next year's draft, so they could certainly move up if they wanted to. I would look at, you know, some of these cornerbacks. Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, someone they had come in for a visit. 6'1", has the size to play on the outside. And then tight end. And the other question tonight, too, is Goddard, right? Like, that's the thing that kind of looms over this draft. So Mason Taylor still on the board. Elijah Arroyo out of Miami still on the board. Harold Fannin Jr. from Bowling Green, his former head coach, now on the Eagles staff.
Absolutely.
He's someone I'd look for tonight. And then there's some offensive line players still on the board as well. Wyatt Millam, the offensive tackle out of West Virginia, that people project will play guard. So still a lot of players, obviously, that the Eagles brought in for visits that are on the board.
Elliot, the tight end from Wake, was he brought in for a visit, Elliot?
I'm sorry. Can you get the tight end from Wake Forest?
He loves throwing that question at you, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he always
yeah.
wants you to know all 30 players off the top
tight
of your head.
Coached by
That's
Scott
about the
Leffler
fourth time that
you just brought up.
No, but sorry, he's not out of Wake Forest. You're talking about Harold Fannin Jr.
Harold Fannin Jr.
You're talking about out of Bowling Green. Is that
out
what
of Bowling Green?
About?
That's what I'm. Yeah,
okay,
out of Bowling. That's what
that threw me off.
So Bowling Green.
My bad.
Yeah.
Was he brought in on a visit?
So we only know 29 of the 30 visits, so it's possible he's at 30th, but he's not the other one. But he's interesting. I mean, he had 115 catches. Like, that's an absurd number for college, especially at Bowling Green. Like, that
I'll
is
say.
Yeah. So
115 catches.
That's incredible.
And
you're saying in one season, right?
Yeah, in one season. I think he had over 100 the year before.
Well, they do play like 14 games.
That's crazy.
Now.
That's like a career. That is an amazing
14
career
games,
for a tight end.
Yeah, that's like.
And that's 1 year.
That's wild. That's a Zach Ertz
Holy
sort of thing.
Cow.
Now, right, in terms of the. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, in terms of the top 30 visit, the fact that his head coach is on the staff might minimize the need to bring him in.
Sure. Makes sense.
Point.
Hey,
good
Elliot,
point.
I've heard a little bit of chatter. Maybe they grab a third string quarterback later in this draft. What round do you think that could start?
Well, I would guess not 64 in the second round. I would think not. But, you know, I think the question here for them is, which prospects do they like better than Dorian Thompson-Robinson? And, I think that if he was in this draft, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks he is better than that we're now talking about in that second tier. So
Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. There's no shot they're going to take Shedeur Sanders.
Let me ask you this, Elliot. So Pittsburgh didn't take him. Maybe they get him in the second round. Maybe they don't. There's not that many teams that need a starting quarterback. Pittsburgh's obviously one. If the Steelers call you up about Tanner McKay, would you be willing to move him for a second-round pick, third-round pick, fourth-round pick? Where would you make the move? Where would you not make the move?
So I definitely wouldn't do it for a third or a fourth.
I agree.
I mean, a second-round pick – I mean, that's great value. And the other thing to consider with Tanner, too, is I believe this is his third year on the team, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So he's approaching year three. Yep.
He would be contract eligible at the end of this offseason, or, you know, the end of this season, I should say.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to think about. Now, you do control him for that fourth year as well.
Steelers aren't looking at Tanner McKee and thinking like, oh, man, we got to bring Tanner McKee.
He's a lot better than that Mason Rudolph guy.
I don't think the Eagles.
He's 10 times better than Mason. Tanner McKee can
they
play.
They don't think so.
How do you know that?
Well, because they
you talk to Tomlin?
Mason Rudolph.
They like Mason Rudolph.
Like,
are you kidding me?
Come on, man.
Mason Rudolph's mom doesn't like Mason Rudolph.
You're talking about our third string quarterback.
No, I'm talking about the second string quarterback. Who's
now.
Better
Who
than
was
Mason
our
Rudolph?
Our third string quarterback last year. And you, again, this is insane.
John, have you ever watched McKee and Rudolph play?
Yeah.
And you think Mason Rudolph is better than Tanner McKee?
The thing that I'll say in John's defense is Mason Rudolph has played.
Hire him Johnny Cochran. That's the only way he's going to have a defense here.
You are out of your mind, just like everyone else who thinks that a third-string quarterback really has the ability to, like, pique the interest of Mike Tomlin. Like, our third-string quarterback is not piquing Mike Tomlin's interest right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mason Rudolph has at least played in the
NFL. I'm not predicting the trade. I'm just saying I know Tanner McKee's better than that guy. That guy stinks. Anyway.
They don't think so.
All right. Elliot, we're good. We're done.
Yeah, I think that was good.
John, I'll get a little.